B-Pod Studios.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger.
I don't know, guys. Am I going to play? Am I not going to play? What am I going to do?
Mass.
Yeah, Mass, you stupid. S-T-O-O. Stupid Mass.
It's time for Felger and Mass, presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Richardson will trigger the unbound, inbound under the Indiana basket. 6.2 to go. Boston down 89-87. The Celtics and Pacers, both 2-11 this year in games decided by five or fewer. Who's going to pull this one out tonight? Richardson, under out of bounds, looking, lobs to Tatum. Tatum in the corner against Craig, 4 seconds to go. Tatum drives, pull up, long baseline, two, ties the game.
That was nice. He got right there to the baseline, elevated without thinking, and just knocked it down.
All right, it was the play of the night. Jason Tatum, the second and a half left in regulation to force overtime as the Celtics beat the Pacers in overtime. Let's take a quick temperature on the Celtics coming out of the weekend. Maz, what is it?
Okay, so here's what has struck me about the last couple of games is that we spent a lot of time here last week, and people have spent a lot of time in general to asking the question of whether or not Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum could play together, and in particular as it pertains to Brown. Could you pass the ball? Pass the ball. The guy, the ball sticks with the guy every time. He doesn't make other people better. He doesn't seem to look to make other people better. It's been a problem since the day he set foot in the league, which I can chalk up to youth or immaturity for the first, call it, 2 or 3 years. But then after that, you expect to see growth in that area. And you're not. You don't see Jaylen Brown looks like he's playing for himself the large majority of the time out there. Then all of a sudden, on Saturday night, he has a career-high 11 assists. So the first game after, and again, I'm just relating this to our world, okay? We go off the air on Friday after having spent much of the week talking about the fact that Jaylen Brown doesn't pass the ball. Then he goes out Saturday night and he gets 11 assists, career high. And then he follows it up with last night where he has 6 more assists. So now the 2-game total of 17 assists is, again, the highest of his career for 2 consecutive games.
In other words, Mass, can I just cut to the chase?
Yes.
Celtics fans, you're welcome. You're welcome. Go ahead, proceed.
Okay, so you know, clearly they listen, or clearly they hear it. Now, I actually think on some level, despite the fact that Indiana blows this year, and the game never should have come to that, and, you know, so we can leave that to the side. If they actually acknowledge that it's a legit criticism, I actually see some measure of growth in there. Like, if Jaylen Brown all of a sudden looked at it and said, well, I guess it's true. I guess I'm not passing. You know, maybe I should start to pass. Like, to me, the opposite could have happened. He could have dug in and said, screw you, I'm going to put up 45. You still want me to pass? Or you can actually go out and try to become a better player and start to implement some of these things.
It's clear they got rabbit ears. So on the Brown end, it's seemingly worked and good. Like Mike just said, you're welcome. How about Tatum chirping back at Perk over the weekend, though?
Okay, so that gets into a whole different area, and this is they just got to get over it.
It's so soft. They're so freaking soft, and last night does nothing for me. No, I mean, I liked Tatum's game-tying shot. You know, it wasn't a fall-away three-pointer or anything like that. It's just good, measured, mid-range shot, which should be there for him, given his length, anytime he wants it, whether there's a double team creeping or not. So I thought that was an excellent choice of shots in that situation, and he nailed it just like he did last week against was it the Knicks?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like that's good. But that's about the only thing I feel good about in this game. The Pacers blow.
It's a crap team who was down a few players, and I'm glad to hear you say this because I wasn't impressed either. And Tatum with the 24, it was on 21 shots and 0 for 7 with threes and 8 turnovers. So that shot that put him in overtime, it was nice. Then again, according to the team's dumb Instagram account, put it in a museum. But I'm not impressed by that last night. Great, you got the win, but it was mostly unwatchable. And thank God there were other options. And Tatum's night, I thought, was overrated.
He didn't have a good night. He had a good shot. And that Pacers team, my God, the way they play. Boy, talk about setting NBA basketball back like 40 years. And I know you all like Sabonis. I think he is an overrated, flat-footed stiff.
I agree.
So he plants his big fat, not fat, but his big clunky feet underneath the basket, and he just collects a bunch of rebounds. Notice how many he collects where they're bouncing around. It's not like he's out leaping people, or he's just plants himself underneath the basket and collects trash. And he's a good passer, neat. But like, that's all they got. That's all they got. And they dribble the ball down to 5 seconds on the shot clock. It feels like every possession. It's just what a trash team that Pacers team is. And you're neck and neck. You're neck and neck. That ball game could have gone either way. You could have pulled it out. You just as easily could have lost, like you lost some of these other games late. Nothing separating you from just a bad Eastern Conference team. I still ain't close to being impressed.
No, how could you be? And again, you know, it's going to take something more than just a couple of games against, you know, mediocre or bad competition to wake people up. And they still haven't won or lost more than three in a row all year long.
This nonsense over the weekend, too, with, you know, Kendrick Perkins, like many people talking about these two playing well with each other, off each other, playing well at the same time. So after that second Knicks game where Brown goes off, and it's a little old news, but not for us, so we'll just reset it quickly. Kendrick Perkins tweets, Jaylen Brown completely took over this game with his first triple-double of his career, ! Played a perfect game while Jason Tatum went 6-for-14 from the field. They got the win, though. Carry on. That was the tweet. And, of course, Jason Tatum is such an immature, freaking, rabbit-eared baby. He can't take that. He can't take that. Where he immediately comes out and tweets, normalizing, uplifting one man without bringing another one down. JB played great. It's all right to leave it at that. Like, oh, my God, you big freaking baby. Example number 1,085, how these guys just can't hack it. Maybe they grow into it. Maybe they will eventually. I don't know. That's predicting the future. I'm not good at that. What I do know is at this point in time, these guys can't handle it. This is just another example of it.
Oh, for sure. Again, the fact that you would spend the time chirping about it, because my first answer would be to Perk if I were first of all, you wouldn't answer at all. Okay, but if you're Tatum, who cares? Who cares?
It's because he and other guys his age that play that sport now look at former players, especially former players that played on the team they were on, like, you know what it was like for us. You should only say good things about us. They're such babies.
Put the phone down.
Right.
Put the phone down for one flipping second. I love Perk's response to it all. He said, first of all, let me say this. If the world haven't noticed, again, the tense there is a little off. First of all, let me say this. If the world haven't noticed, I don't give a damn. Perfect, Perk. Love him. Good for him and good for NBC Sports Boston for continuing to put him out there. Good job. He says, by the way, players today, they are too damn sensitive. This is what you signed up for, JT. I think you are a stud. I want to see great games at the same time so we can say they can coexist. So, you know, good for Perk and all that. Example number 1,000, why they just can't hack it. Jason Tatum talked last night after the game. He talked about his response to Kendrick Perkins. I think this is Jason Tatum number one. Jimmy, can I hear that, please?
I don't have a problem with Perk. We ain't got no beef toward each other, nothing like that. We don't really know each other. I seen what he said. And he said my name, and, you know, I just responded. You know, that's all it was. And, I mean, it's no big deal, just something to move past. And, you know, that's what social media is for. Sometimes you see something, you get the ability to respond. You know, we both said what we said, we move on. And, you know, it is what it is.
Well, that's definitely what social media is for.
I knew you were going to say that. I mean, it's so that's true.
Of course it is. So turn the thing off, man. Just try it. Try it one night. Turn it off. But I guess he and Brown have had a talk. They have reiterated to each other that they want to try and make it work together. Both have talked about that the last couple nights. Tatum said it last night. Number two, Jimmy.
We live in a world where, you know, we on our phones and on TV and, you know, we see all the things about we can't play together. And, you know, everybody in the media is saying that, you know, one of us got to go. And, you know, we just had to talk about, you know, we both want to be here and we both want to figure it out. There's not many players in a league, you know, like JB. The grass ain't always greener.
Okay, so this is fine. If they're really making an effort towards this and they're just speaking about it, that's all fine. I feel like they're just responding to their effing Twitter feed is what it feels like to me, because they're not showing it on the floor yet. Again, last night I thought they were brutal. And the thing is this. The story isn't that they're saying about it on Twitter or TV. The story is that they turned the team over to you and Jaylen Brown last year, and you've done nothing but suck since. It has nothing to do with what someone on TV is saying or what an ex-player is saying or what Twitter is saying. You were in the play-in tournament and then lost in the first round last year, and you're a game under 500 this year. Those are the facts. That's reality. That's not what's going on in cyber world or TV world. That's what's going on in the world. You suck. You're not good. So that's what you should be answering to, not freaking perk on Twitter.
Absolutely. Okay? Look, and as someone once said to me, show me, don't tell me. Show, don't tell. You can flap your gums all you want. I need to see it on the floor. I need to see it there.
That's your Celtics minute. We'll do a quick Bruins minute coming back. Tuukka Rask's contract is in, and I got a developing opinion on it. I've got a developing opinion on it now that I know the numbers related to Tuukka Rask and his return. As he comes back, at the very moment, it looks like the Bruins have actually woken the F up. Here comes Tukes and his new contract. And I got a thought on it. We'll get to that and your calls right after these words.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Do you believe in moral victories? A good loss? We'll get them next time.
No silver linings here on Felger and Mazz.
Then you are in the wrong place.
You have to accept that, so we...
Felger and Mazz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Marchand, a backhand, Fucale the save, and then Marchand buried behind the net.
There was a big block in front of Fucale. He makes a couple pretty good saves as well. Marchand got, you said it, he got buried, bleeding, big time high stick here. On Dowd, and it came right up underneath the shield of Marchand. He's cut, tending to him, cleaning up the blood off the ice and behind the net.
The Bruins keep it in, left point. Here's Pastrnak, rink wide, Grizzly. Bottom right wing circle, Marchand. Centers, fired, they score! David Pastrnak! The Bruins with a power play goal, trailing here in Washington 2-1.
Marchand gets this down at the base of the right wing circle. And he's looking, trying to find a lean, and he's going to find David Pastrnak. And it's not the big windup, it's not the big back scratcher, it's the quick snapshot.
48 seconds left in the period. Marchand shoots, he scores! Fucale never moved! Marchand snaps it home, and listen to the Bruins fans here in D.C. Bruins 2, Capitals 2.
Marchand scored from the exact same spot this morning, working on the power play. He ripped it short side high from the right wing circle. He does it again here.
Well, that was quite the sequence last night. Marchand gets bloodied by Nick Dowd, high stick. I thought it was a pretty irresponsible play by the Capitals player there. Like, yeah, that was more than just, whoops, I'm trying to lift your stick and something slipped and I just clip you on the face mask or the shield. That happens all the time. That was a real windmill.
It was reckless. I don't know if it was malicious or intentional. It was reckless. It was dumb.
And Marchand schnoz, that ample, glorious schnozole.
Big target.
Just opened up. And he's just
leaking. A faucet.
Oh, my God. He's leaking oil all over the place. And, of course, he comes right back on the ice 30, 45 seconds later, whatever it is. Assist and a goal, ties the game 2-2, and they go on to put a 7 spot on the board on the Capitals and win that game. Before I get to Rask, any Bruins thoughts, you two?
Well, go ahead, Murray.
Yeah, maybe we'll replay it. There was that caller last week that said we can't take the sausage out of the casing or whatever it was until we see this 3-game streak with Minnesota, Tampa, and Washington.
Let's hear it, Jimmy. Ding!
Sorry, I closed out the file.
Oh. That's all right.
But I'm not ready to take it out. But I'd like to show it to you, maybe. Like, give it some air. You can have a peek. Because between, they lost that Minnesota game. They didn't come back in the third like I would have wanted them to see. But whatever. Saturday night against Tampa. And this last night, which was a blast to watch, but with the blood and everything. the line changes are working, and it's kind of annoying because it shows you should have done this before, but the line changes are working. They're taking it. It's not just on power plays. 5-on-5, like they're scoring. That second line now, it's clearly helped Paul. Pasternak's woke up. I thought Ullmark was actually even kind of good last night. They kind of fell asleep when they were up 2-0, but I don't know. My overall thought watching them over the weekend, maybe I'm stupid. Maybe I'm falling for the old banana in the tailpipe again like I have with the Bruins a million times. Buy at the deadline. Be buyers at the deadline. Try to find some center depth, a defenseman, names. I don't know. You do that on your own time. They should be buyers. If they're going to look like this and they actually have secondary scoring that's real, what the hell? See if you can pry the window open one last time.
Let's not get our sausages out of our pans because the Bruins are on a 3-game winning streak.
Well, as Murray said, the little fellas down there are starting to creep, trying to creep into daylight. Because, as he said, you're starting to beat real teams now. And it doesn't get more real than Tampa and the Caps. And you combined to score, I think, 12 goals against those two teams. So, look, I thought they were asleep to start the game last time. I thought the first two Capitals goals were garbage, hot garbage. The first one's off, like, the side of the net, and Ullmark's not ready, and it just pops out front to, what was it, Cherry? And then the second one, you see the giveaway by Grizzlick?
Yeah.
So, like I thought their first two goals were garbage, but... Well, you know, when you're scoring, you can make a mistake or two, and it just sort of gets lost in the shuffle, and that's what's happened here the last couple of nights. They've still given up a couple bad goals here the last couple of nights, but they're scoring. 5 in Tampa, whatever it was, 7 last night, so all right, here you go. And the line shift was absolutely the key to the whole thing, absolutely. And Pasternak and Hall work well together, and Hall, it's mostly as a setup guy for Hall, but be that as it may, he creates stuff with his speed, and then he sets guys up, and that is all working. And what also works is, you know, let's face it, for those that maybe I'm the last to know, but Charlie Coyle's a third-line guy. He's not a top-six guy. He's a third-line center. And if that's what he is, he's overpaid, but that's a good third-line center. Like, that's fine. He plays a two-way game, and is a third-line guy. So I don't think they need a depth center, Murray. They need a number two center because Hola is just kind of there. But anyway, I think he opens up to Hall. He's a left shot, right? So that sort of gets Hall going as well. And this is all what we've been talking about for years, about balancing out that lineup, and it's worked. So great. Here comes Tukes. And let me tell you, now that I know the contract, if you haven't heard it throughout the course of the day, Murray, why don't you just update people one more time? What's Rask's contract?
Yeah, so they signed him to a one-year, $1 million contract. But due to him signing this late in the year, he's actually going to earn $545,000.
I like it a lot. Like, I think he put his money where his mouth is. If he comes back and it's, you know, 2 years, $7 million, you know, 2 years, three and a half, which is what he frankly could easily command. I mean, that's what Holtby got on his contract last year, you know, when he was at this stage. I mean, look around the league, these veteran guys, and Rask could probably even ask for more, but that's sort of like the going rate for that good veteran guy who maybe is good for 40, 50 games a year, but could be a full-time starter, could be whatever at that age, somewhere in that $3 to $4 million a year range. And so like that, I think, is his market. If he had come back here, 2 years, $7 million, and this year still would have been prorated, I would have looked at that and been like, oh, God. Like, what are we doing? How much are you spending in net now between this Ullmark and now but it's not that. He put his money where his mouth is. It's only a one-year deal. And the cap hit, again, is $1 million if it's prorated over the whole year, but it's not. It's only going to be half the year. So I think that's him – again, putting his money where his mouth is when he says, I just want to play in one place and I want to come back. I want to end on good terms. I don't want to end it the way it ended the last couple of years. I grew up with these guys. We're a family and a brotherhood, blah, blah, blah. And the contract tells me that he actually might mean it. If he says all those things and it's 2 years, $10 million, I'm like, F you. He's coming back for the money and all that stuff's lip service. But when you come back for that, you're actually telling me, okay, your heart is probably in the right place. So that's good news. And who the hell knows? The room wants him. Like, I'm resigned to it, Maz. We've known this was coming for months. I just like the contract. I just think it makes me feel a little bit better about the thing.
Yeah, look, you know that I said a while ago I wanted him back. And the contract's even a little bit better than I thought it was going to be. I always thought it was going to be pretty low. but I didn't expect this low. And it still doesn't make me feel any better about Ullmark being here, because I still think the roster is flawed. They would have been better off still with Swayman and Vladar, and then bringing Tuukka back, sending Swayman down and using the money on the defensive core. Like, that's what they should have done. That was a mistake. So I don't feel any better about the goaltending decision-making as a whole, starting with the off season. But do I think that they could be better with Tuukka in goal than they've been overall, and that he could have a ripple effect? Yes, I do.
Yeah, if it gets the guys to play better because they believe in him, then fine. I want a hockey season. I ain't going to fight that. And if the whole thing's going to add up to a hockey season and a chance at a run, fine. When Rask ultimately craps his pants, as we know he will ultimately, we'll get to that then. As we like to say, we'll burn that bridge when we get to it. But for this moment, it's looking like maybe they might give us something this year. How about that? I wasn't fully expecting it. Okay, there are your Celtics thoughts. Those are your Bruins thoughts, I promise. To your calls on everything after Big Jim Murray gets you updated.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is purely a take that exists in my head.
Getting into your head.
Tell you what's in our head.
With hot sports takes.
And we share it with you.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, back to the phones. Everything on the board as promised. Here's Shukri in Brookline on the Bruins. And I ask you, Shukri, at what point is the sausage allowed to be removed from its casing?
Not too far out, unless if you like freezer burns, thanks to this extreme cold we have outside. But Big Jim Murray, if you want freezer burns in your sausage case, then be my guest, by all means.
I just wanted to get some air, that's just a little bit, after these last couple of games.
I'm sure, most definitely. But I will say this, though. You saw the test between Tampa Bay and Washington, those two games. And I will admit that it is imperative to keep in mind that although the results have been good, the secondary scoring has been there. And now with Tuukka Rask coming back, my big point of contention becomes not the timing. I don't have the problem with it because the games in Providence got canceled over the weekend due to COVID concerns. But now him coming back, everybody who's celebrating, well, Tuukka's back, yay, woo! If he makes his debut tomorrow night against the Montreal Canadiens, I'm telling you, all those cheers will turn into immediate booze and cesspool full of booze if he allows the first goal to the Montreal Canadiens. I'll hang up and listen.
Okay, I like it, Shukri. You are very good at getting them in trouble for something they haven't done yet, which we say we don't allow, but we embrace. There is a little bit of it's finally working. And goals against, as inconsistent as their goaltending has been all year, goals against have not been a problem on this team this year. They just haven't. Statistically, anyway, they haven't been. So there is a little bit of a risk that he upsets what they've got going. But by the same token, they don't have all that much going. Like, you know, he's coming into a first-place environment here, best team in the league kind of environment. No, it's just aggravating that they signed Ullmark in the first place. And it's aggravating that a promising young kid who's really cheap in Ullmark, Swayman, has to go down to Providence. And it's just not ideal. I don't like the way they've handled the goaltending situation. But, I mean, I'm not going to go back in time. It is what it is. And they screwed it up in the offseason with the Ullmark contract. You can't undo that thing. And if Rask helps give them a further lift, at this stage, I'll take it. Whatever. Fine. Michael and Taunton with the Patriots talk. Go ahead, Mike. Thanks for holding on.
Hey, guys. You know, even if New England's not that good, I think they need a strong leader voice in the locker room that's going to keep him in check. Tom Brady used to be that guy. They don't have him anymore. They need someone else. I don't think Mac Jones is that guy right now, but they need someone in that locker room that's going to keep him in check, because I think the only way they beat Buffalo is if Buffalo makes mistakes and New England's prepared for the game.
Well, let me tell you what, Michael. It's an interesting point in that, you know, they came out of that bye funky, Maz, right? There was something wrong, whether they got just sort of put off by their practice schedule or they were reading their press clippings or something, right? We all acknowledge that that bye was sort of the line of demarcation. If Brady were here, don't you like their chances of addressing that better than they've done it?
100%. Because Brady wouldn't stand for it. Go ahead, Murray.
But they have, I thought, leaders, veterans in that room that people respected, like Devin McCourty and Matthew Slater. So what, have younger guys maybe tuned them out?
Well, so they do on one side of the ball. Like, who would you say, if we're going to start playing this game, who's the leader of the offense? Andrews?
Yeah, maybe.
I mean,
he's a captain.
Yeah, so listen, and I like Andrews too, but we're talking about the center. You know, we're not talking about the quarterback. We're not talking about, you know, the best wide receiver on the team, or it's not exactly a high profile position to begin with. But I mean, Mike, you tell me, can your center be the personality or your offense, or the identity is a better word?
This is kind of no one's fault, but you can't replicate what Tom Brady brings when he walks into the locker room and says, guys, get your head out of your ass. Like, you can't. That's gone. Like, you can't possibly account for that unless you followed it up with Aaron Rodgers or someone like that. You're not going to do it with a rookie quarterback, no matter how good he is intangible-wise. So I think they've missed Brady off the field as well. I think that's all fair. But a lot of it is sort of, you know, what are you going to do? There's no way you could, you know, have the next guy like that ready to go to lead the team. Robin Wareham. Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, I just wanted to talk about the Celtics, and I'm seeing the problem with the team after watching basketball for a very long time, coaching and playing. These guys just seem like they always think they're going to make the next shot, and their shooting percentage is terrible, especially by the three guys that are supposed to be the leaders in Tatum, Brown, and Smart. Smart can't shoot to save his life, but the guy just keeps shooting, thinking the next ball is going to go in without moving the ball around. Those guys, it's almost like back when McHale was there, the ball went into the middle, and it never came back out, but at least he shot.
So, Rob, I just have to stop you. McHale's day has no relevance to what's going on right now in the modern NBA. In terms of sharing the basketball, I've come to believe that the main culprit by far, and Maz has been on this long before me, is Jaylen Brown. Jason Tatum's moving the ball better, and Smart will. Smart will shoot when we hate it, you know, but he also can move the ball. Brown's the one that has to come around if they all want to get on board, Tony.
No, so look, I understand his point, though, which is to say part of the reason I think the shooting percentages have been so bad is because they don't take good shots. You know, when I say good shots, move the ball, find an open guy. Now, look, they've also missed open shots. Al Horford's having a hell of a time. I mean, for a guy who's a pretty good shooter for a big guy, or has been at points in his career,
Maz,
he can't make anything.
The clock has struck midnight. He was pretty good for the first month or so. Now it is what it is. Water's reaching its level.
Seriously, though, I mean, he is having a hell of a time. He can't make anything. But I would say, you know, when you move the ball and defenses start running around, you know what happens? You end up with easy buckets. You end up with open shots. And so your shooting percentages will go up. I think there's a direct correlation there.
We've got Tom and Quincy. What do you got for us today, Tommy?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Hey, I kind of caught some of Dodd's visit earlier. I heard a caller calling up, and I took offense to the fact that he called him a cherry picker. Where I don't think that the people whipping out the term cherry picker knows what a cherry picker is. Because the people that are defending the Pats going into how they've played this past month, they're the ones cherry-picking games. They talk about the Browns game. They talk about the 50 burgers they talk about, which that term alone, whoever convinced that needs a slap. But it's those people. It's the people that talk about the 50-point wins against the Jaguars and the Jets and the wins against the Browns. So the cherry-picking people, they're the ones actually cherry-picking the games, trying to make their point, when in turn, all they're doing is making themselves look stupid. So if the Pats can't play, they're going to lose the effing game in Buffalo, period, end of story.
I'm it. That's it. And take out any qualifiers for any games. 10-7 is not that good of a record. It's not. It's a middling record. It's just a middling kind of record. So count them, don't count them, cherry pick them, don't cherry pick them. I'm not that impressed.
And, Mike, I'd be willing to bet that as time goes on and we get more and more data on the longer schedule and what have you, I bet 10-7 is below the line. I bet you it's going to take 11-6 to get you in most cases.
Now, you win Saturday night in Buffalo, that's a different story. Full marks there, however you end up doing it. No cherry picking there. Results, as it stands right now, your season? Not that impressive. I'm sorry. And you know who really wasn't impressed? Was the big boy, Greg Bedard. I don't know if he was hungry or something, but he was not happy with the Patriots today. We'll relive some of it starting next in our long commercial-free segment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is the place Boston sports fans come to get some positive vibes for their teams.
Anything but. It's time to panic.
Maybe not. Now, back to reality with Felger and Maz.
Just your thoughts on facing Buffalo here for a third time. What are the challenges in facing?
What's your confidence level on this team?
Not very high at all. They could put it all together in Buffalo next week. They could go or on Saturday night. They could all of a sudden come together and play the best game they had this season and pull out a victory. But after watching them over the last month and what they basically devolved into in all three phases of the game, I have very little confidence that they're going to do it. I think it's more likely that they go to Buffalo and get wiped off the field. Because the way they have fallen behind, the undisciplined nature that they have played on defense, you do that again against Josh Allen, he's going to go for 500 yards. Forget about the 300 that he had last time. And offensively, Mac Jones is getting worse by the week. He's regressing. It looks like he can't get to the offseason soon enough to sort of regroup. He's done fine so far, but this is now going to be 18 games in about 19 weeks, plus preseason, you're talking that's 21 and 22 weeks. That's a lot for a rookie to handle, and it looks like he's about burnt out, in my opinion, on this season and needs to get to the offseason. And then special teams-wise, I don't know, Jake Bailey keeps kicking touchbacks, stupid penalties, missed extra points. I don't know. I don't know how anybody has confidence in this team. I mean, could they do it? Sure. From what they've shown in the last month, they have little chance to do anything on Saturday night.
Again, that's the big boy earlier. Catch the full two-hour stint on 98.5thesportshub.com or the app. We replay every hour, every day on that puppy so you don't miss a thing, and Greg's full stint is included there. Down on the team, lack of confidence in the team. Is that shared in the room here, the virtual room here, Maz Murray?
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Look, I don't know. You know, I believe that these things can always change in an instant, right? You know, they were 2-4, and it spun. So it can always spin. But you also have to factor in the history of the people you're dealing with. Have they done it before? Are they mentally tough? Like all these things. So right now, I think it's really hard to have confidence in them going into Buffalo.
Yeah, and for what he was talking about, sorry, Mike, about Matthew Judon, who was such a factor when they did turn things around during that 7-game winning streak, he really has completely disappeared. Greg was talking about him and the fact that he was, again, like kind of a no-show in this Miami game. Like, if he bounces back and, you know, he's able to get to Josh Allen on Saturday night, I certainly like their chances. But if he's going to continue to play the way he has, they might get blown off the field.
Okay, well, two specific guys. He mentioned Mac Jones there and how he's regressing is the word that he used. I want to follow up on that. And also, Judon, as you mentioned, Jimmy, why don't you play number two? This is a longer cut. We'll probably slice it in the middle here, Jimmy, at some point. But play Bedard number two from today. What's going on, Bedard? How'd this happen?
I don't know how it happened. I could just tell you what's on film with this team. And probably the thing that I'm most concerned and disappointed in is the lack of cohesiveness that this defense has played with over the last month, and specifically Matthew Judon, who has basically gone missing since the bye week. I don't know if something happened to him in the bye week. I don't know if there's something personal going on with him. I don't know what it is. I could just tell you the Matthew Judon that we saw after week one, because from week over a span of 12 games after week one, I'm pretty sure he had 12 and a half sacks in 12 games. Since then, he has zero sacks in the last four games. He has zero sacks. Pressure-wise, he had 30 in the six games during the seven-game winning streak. He had 30 pressures. In the last four games, he has four total pressures. He has completely just gone missing. And the worst part about it, he's playing undisciplined, and it looks like he's playing for himself. Like, you know, for example, the third and eight play. You know, people want to cry about the holding. Oh, he got held. But first of all, it didn't really get held. He wasn't obstructed from going to the quarterback. He maybe got slowed up a little bit. But second of all, where the hell is he going? Why is he running behind the quarterback there in that situation? It's the same crap he pulled against Josh Allen and the Bills here, and Josh Allen's able to run wherever he wants to go. There was a third and five play, a play that nobody's really talked about
here
in the second quarter.
Here, just cut it there, Jimmy. So he's really down on Judon and how he's played recently, Maz. Do share that, first of all, on Matthew Judon, because you started to get on Judon and his lack of lane discipline, if you will, earlier in the season.
Yeah, it was the Tennessee game, and because I was at that game that day, and he just was, you know, he wasn't holding the edge. He's constantly, in that game, he seemed to be focused on getting to Tannehill, getting to the quarterback, and was giving up the edge, and they gave up a ton of yards on the ground. And I think that that is something that was happening, I don't want to say regularly during the course of the year, but occasionally, and it got worse as the year went on. Now, the other thing is he had a game in there, too, where he almost didn't play, right? Was it the Jacksonville game? He stood on the sideline the whole game?
Was he coming back late from COVID, one of those games?
Yeah, he went on the COVID list. But also, I think, didn't he come off the field at the end of the Buffalo game?
Yes. Yeah, there's some speculation that he hurt his ribs in the game at Buffalo, and he hasn't been the same guy since.
Okay, so, you know, that to me is something that I'm surprised more people haven't poked around about that, first of all. And secondly, something's up. Okay, something's up. And whether it's emotional, you know, psychological, physical, whatever, something's up. He's vanished. He's like vanished. And this guy, you noticed him constantly in the first, you know, call it 12 weeks of the season. He's literally evaporated into thin air.
I hate to say it. It's kind of shades of Adalius Thomas, because people loved him the first few games when he was here. Remember, he balled out in that game against the Chargers and that Sunday night or whatever it was, and then he started to disappear. And coincidentally, what franchise did he come from, just like Matthew Judon?
And Mike, he might be the linchpin of the defense, right? Let's face it. They don't have a ton of playmakers. And so Barmore became one there for a period of time, but Judon's the only one with any sort of history or pedigree in the league as being a playmaker and having an impact. And without him, it's hurt badly.
All right, so there's a follow-up on Judon. And it's definitely been a development. He was clearly, I thought he was the team MVP for the first, I don't know, 2 months of the year or something.
I agree.
He was awesome.
On Mac Jones, regressing, you know, to the point where I asked Greg, are you worried now long term? Are you starting to rethink the whole Mac Jones thing here in New England? Here's his answer. Number six, Jimmy, if you could.
No, please. I'm just fine with him. I'm still in the same place I've been probably since training camp. I think he's the next guy. I don't know he's the next guy. I think he's made substantial progress this year. I just think that it's been too much at this point. Like, he's done well enough, and this is part of the way, you know, the way he's finished the season was part of the reason why some of us were arguing, all right, what's the harm in starting the season with Cam Newton? You know, give Mac Jones a little bit time to wait. You know, maybe he makes through the season a little bit better physically. If you do that, I just think this has been a lot. You know, 21 games in 22 weeks plus a quarterback competition, that's a lot of mental stress for a young player, and so I'm not going to indict him on the last month. It doesn't dissuade me from who he might become. I just think it's been a lot this season.
Okay, Maz, your thoughts?
Well, I think there's absolute truth to it. I think that, and I would focus on the physical part of it as well. So Remember way back at the beginning of the year when you mentioned we played some sound from Michael Lombardi talking about how the adjustment for Mac Jones was going to be a redshirt year and maybe physically he wasn't ready to play in the league?
Yeah.
Yeah, so look, this is when it would show up. We're at the end now. I mean, this is when it would show up most noticeably. We're at the end now. It's a lot of miles. And it's week in, week out. And maybe this is why they didn't respond well to the bye week. And maybe he was talking about himself as much as anything, is because he's tired and he's worn out. And so all of a sudden, what? I lose a day or I lose 2 days in the bye week now? And I needed those days, and starts feeling sorry for himself. And so, again, and he's got that in him. He was sitting on the bench with his head hanging early in the year, feeling sorry for himself. And Bill made sure that, you know, he grabbed him by the hand and took him off the field. So there's something going on there. The kid has not played well the last 4 or 5 weeks. And unlike Greg, I am concerned about the longer term.
Okay, so there's your Patriots reset with Bedard from earlier. So what's your confidence level in this Patriots team? We actually have some polling data on that. And do you feel this season's already a success? Do they need to win on Saturday for this to be a successful season? How do you feel about 10-7 and making the playoffs with a rookie quarterback? Is that enough? We have polling data on that as well. We'll give you that to you and go right to your phones, I promise. 90 quick seconds for an update from Big Jim Murray. No commercials, and we're right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.